Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, everyone, welcome to this episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
All right, and Larry, this has been a week full of issues for us to discuss. Let's get right to it. As a matter of fact, let's get right to the pimping. All right. Don't forget, you can always follow us on thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all the past episodes, synopsis, questions, forums, whatever you need. Go to thatriotshow.com. Check us out there, won't you? Also, we are constantly on social media. You can find us on facebook.com/thatriotshow. facebook.com/thatriotshow. Picking up a little bit of steam there, Larry. Also, the bestest place to be on social media, Twitter. You can find us by going to twitter.com/thatriotshow. twitter.com/thatriotshow. Check us out there. But if you're offended by bad words, Larry, don't go to Twitter.
Yeah. Don't go to it. If you can't take 140 characters from this guy, don't go there.
140. Yeah. Yes, the minds of a 7-year-old. Yes. Anyway, so yeah, check us out on twitter.com. Also, don't forget, we will be on every platform that offers podcasting. So, Phil, if you don't mind, please do the roll. iTunes, Pod-O-Matic, Player FM, Spreaker, Mixcloud, TuneIn, Stitcher. Basically, anywhere great podcasts can be found, check us out there. Just search for That Riot Show, all one word, That Riot Show, and you'll find us there. Okay. Now that we're done with the pimping, Larry,
yes.
If you notice, I breezed right through that. Phil is too busy changing all the buttons and everything, Larry, as to, you know, what to put up on the screen.
Yeah, it's like Mr. Sulu over there just playing with buttons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of which, since you mentioned Star Trek, this is how ADD this show is. You know, we just go off in tangents. Yeah. Did you hear that the new Mr. Chekhov died? Was killed?
Yes.
Anton Yelchin, I think. The actor's name was Anton Yelchin.
Yeah.
What a like, the guy was 27 or so. He played young Chekhov in all the new series. But did you see how he died?
Yeah, it was a car.
His car was parked in the a Jeep, I think, was parked in the driveway, and he got out to move something, and the thing just rolled back and crushed him.
He got killed like an extra.
That's
like one of those people with the red unis.
He should have known better than to wear that red uniform. Turning tragedy into comedy.
That's what we do in this show.
Too soon?
No, it's not.
We're horrible.
But no, that's actually terrible. I did hear about that. Yeah, I heard something that involved his car. I was like, wow.
Yeah, huge tragedy, no doubt about it. But anyway, like we said, ABD, podcasting, video casting here.
Well, you have to. We had to bring it up.
And, by the way, it was totally Sulu and everything that reminded me.
Right, because it's the United Federation of Planets, which is kind of like globalization, which leads to
Brexit.
Let's hear
from let's give a salute to 51% of our limey friends, right?
Right. Well done.
Well done, right? Now listen, this Brexit thing has been both the butt of humor everywhere around the world. First of all, Brexit really sounds like something that came out of my ass after a bad ham and cheese sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Ham, egg, and cheese in the morning. Oh, Larry, I got some Brexit. Oh, what was that? I'm sorry. Yeah. But that aside, look. I've heard it all. I've heard from some expat Brits that are here in the U.S. that I'm acquainted with who are, you know, being younger, they were against leaving the EU. No. And here's what it comes down to. Will there be pain, Larry?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No good medicine, I should say, no medicine tastes good. You know what I mean? No, sometimes medicine tastes shitty, but you got to go through it. Much like, say, for example, in the 80s, to get us out of our inflationary and unemployment death spiral, Ronald Reagan knew he had to raise those interest rates, yo. You know what I mean? He had to tighten up a little bit, and we had 2 years of pain, and then 20 years of prosperity.
So the Brits are probably going to have now
it's going to be rough.
4 years while they have to untangle and disconnect from the EU.
Yeah, they said 2 years minimum.
So it's going to take time. It's going to be painful. You know, they're going to have to disassociate everything with Brussels.
But down the line, I
think it's a winner.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. The vote, listen, it also goes to show you that polls can eat my ass, and we've been saying it all along. Both our asses, but
at the same time,
why leave him out of the fun? No, here's the thing. The polls really, especially after like we mentioned last week, when Joe Cox, the Minister of Parliament, who was pro-staying, which was the Remain option of the vote, when she was assassinated by one of these pro-Nazi Brits or whatever, the polls were saying like, oh, this does it. The Remain option's going to kick ass. They're going to win by a 2-1 margin. It really was, people were thinking that really that would tip the scales in favor of staying. But being who I am, I stayed up all night following the results, and you could see the tie. You know, it was, as soon as these bigger provinces or counties in England were being tallied, it just became obvious. Now, the vote itself was incredibly close. And you have to understand, there's only two options. And a record, like 43 million people voted in England. That's like the all-time record.
In the UK.
I'm sorry, in the UK. All-time record. 51.8%, I think.
51.8%.
Or 51.89. So 51.9
to 48.11.
Right. Yeah. So very close vote because, you know, there's no undecideds. You're either for staying or you're for leaving.
It's a simple vote.
They said it was the most historic referendum in the UK history, possibly just in general. I think in human history, it might be the most important referendum in the sense that never have the people in their hands held so much power. If you think about it.
Well, they did it the right way.
This was
not to be left to politicians and bureaucrats. I also hope it serves as, it'll be completely lost on them. But, you know, if you live in part of the world, just on a side note, if you live in the Muslim world, if you live in Africa, even like some parts of like Indochina, South America, I hope you see how democracy works. I hope you see that it's a vastly superior system to the caliphate or any dumb shit that's out there. Look how orderly, look how they did it, look how many people, they processed it, they put it through, you know, with the exception of that poor woman who was murdered, assassinated.
Yeah.
You know, there was no craziness, there's no violence, and now you move forward. So I, on a separate note, I do hope that if you live in a part of the world that tends to be hostile towards democracy, look how well it works.
I.e. known as the Savage Lands.
Yeah.
No, look, this whole thing, I know liberals the world over, socialists the world over are crying right now. The same thing with, like I said, most of the expats that are Brits that are here were pro-staying because they were raised under collectivism. They were raised under statism and socialism, right? And it just goes to show you the fear. all these Brits, England, the UK, the sun never set on the British Empire. You know, all the, what this great empire once was, and almost half of the UK felt they couldn't survive without the help of Europe.
Yeah. That's really what this is.
That's what that was sad, by the way.
I mean, I agree with you about like the concept of collectivism and socialism, but what it really was motivating a lot of those people. They just really don't think that the UK and England, you know, as like the main driver of it, they really don't think they can survive on their own.
Amazing.
They really think that if they don't, they're going to be like, you know, they obviously where they live is physically separated from the rest of Europe. They really think they're just going to be like an isolated island.
They forget like 1,000 years of history and 1,000 years of achievement. Now, you know, here it was painted as, especially when you listen to Obama, Clinton, Sanders, it was painted two ways. One is either why turn your back on something that works collectively, right? So it's like, hey, the EU is great, right? Why abandon it? All our social, you know, I even saw something by John Oliver, who I usually agree with, but his whole point on the Brexit sucked, mainly because he viewed it as strictly a short-term economic prospect. And in the short term, England's going to suffer by pulling out. Yeah, I think the pound has reached its lowest level against the dollar in like 40 years almost.
Sterling to
30 years, yeah.
Drop
huge
that.
Drop, but yeah. That's to be expected. But you have to go through some pain.
It'll
right?
stabilize.
It'll stabilize. By the way, anyone who's in the stock market, now's the time to buy.
As soon as
I get done with this show, I'm on my Fidelity account and I'm going to be buying. Buy, Larry. When everybody else is selling. Sell when everybody else is buying.
Be a vulture.
Yes.
Get in there right now. Don't worry about
Fuck it.
2 years from now, you'll be smiling.
You'll be smiling. Years from now, you'll be like, why didn't I buy Apple when it lost like $20 a share during the fucking Brexit?
If you're a person, who, like that Dick Soros, who like makes his money on currencies, go buy something out there and make it work for you.
Yeah, go long on the dollar.
Right.
But anyway, my point being that here's the thing. A lot of the liberals here are going to spin it one of two ways. One is the anti-socialist collectivist message that this sends, and they're crying about that. We gotta all be together, Larry.
Now, there were the guys on this morning, even on Fox, going, this is a vote for hate. This is a vote for
I was going to say, see, now that's the
segregation.
That's part two.
And being away from people. Yeah. It's fear.
Right, right. One, the first one is the socialist angle, that they think that the only way humanity can survive is by everybody becoming clones of each other.
Yeah, just being little.
The socialist model. Everybody be a lemming for the government. The second, and possibly more powerful thing that you're hearing is that this is a vote for hate. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That this is an anti-immigration vote. It's an anti-Islam vote. It's an anti-savagery vote. You know what? It is. Okay? But here's the difference. Here, when someone like Drumpf does it, he really is a racist. You know what I'm saying? He's looking at America, which by and large, I know people here, you know, like drunk rubes think there's an immigration, but we really don't have an immigration problem in the U.S. Do you know what I mean? We have a problem, but it's not, nobody in 80% of the country is up at night worried about illegal immigration, honestly, okay? Like if today we passed amnesty for 11 million illegals, gave them a job and had them pay taxes, nobody would give a shit, honestly. The biggest problem
was... That would at least be dealing with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And we'll get to that later. But, I mean, what I'm trying to say is, put yourselves in the shoes of England, where the EU, essentially, being a member of the EU means open borders.
Yeah, you have no say in who comes and goes in your own country.
And
yeah.
Despite what the pro-socialist, collectivist, statist people will tell you, there are parts in London where non-Muslims simply are not allowed. There are parts of London, where if you're a woman walking by in a miniskirt, you get the shit kicked out of you. There are parts of London where Sharia law takes precedence over English law.
Yeah, they've actually let them have their own little courts.
Okay? If you're a native Londoner or British person, you're seeing your country literally be invaded. Okay, and we've always said that when you fail to deal with it realistically, that's in the U.S. that's what gives rise to someone like Trump. When you ignore what immigration issues you have, you get someone like Trump who turns into a nationalist autocratic asshole. Okay,
but it's always the formula that doesn't work is it's always the further you go left,
Yeah.
And the more of these progressive policies that left-wingers, they just love. They think they're so brilliant. They're so intellectual. The further you go left, these policies don't work, and it gives rise to the far right, the people you hate most. So in England, that would be like the English Defense League.
Yeah. And you're looking at England saying, my country is now overrun. There's no assimilation anymore, much like in the U.S. There's no assimilation. So now, but here's the difference. In England, the way you fix that anti-immigration thing, ironically, is by being anti-socialist and anti-collectivist.
Right.
Here in the U.S., you have a rube like Trump whose solution to immigration is to become more dictatorial. That's the difference. See, people who are saying, well, Trump here is running the same sort of campaign that the Leave people or the UKIP, the UK Independence Party has been pushing. No, it's not the same. The UKIP people are saying, we want our autonomy. Right. We want our nation's sovereignty back. In the U.S., Donald Trump is saying, give me all the power. Give me the guns. Give me the immigration. Let me decide when the Second Amendment applies or the Sixth Amendment or the Fourth Amendment. Trump is using immigration to get himself elected and to be a petty dictator. In England, what they're saying is, we're sick of being overrun. We need to be our own nation again. We need to have our sovereignty back.
Mm-hmm.
Two very different solutions, Larry, to the same issue of immigration.
No, absolutely.
All right. So, is there some racism involved? Probably. Absolutely. In the sense that
I think it's getting a little overblown. There's nothing wrong. Look, if you don't have borders, you don't have a country.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting to have borders. You know, John Kerry, douchebag that he is,
right.
He was speaking to some college kids at a commencement speech he made about a month ago, and he kept telling them how they're increasingly going to be living in a borderless world.
Right.
And isn't it wonderful? And I was like, what a fucking hump this guy is. I mean, look, suppose you don't believe that. Look, I don't care who comes into this country. You should see my family. It looks like the UN. I don't care who comes in. I'm not kidding. I don't care who comes into this country. But you know what? There has to be an orderly process for doing it. And in the age of terrorism and drug cartels, wouldn't it be nice to at least have a head count of who's coming in and have some idea who's coming in? Why would you? I don't even understand. What is the attraction of a borderless world? I mean, unless you really just think it's open and it's free, or it's free-minded, or something like the hippies.
Yeah.
What is the point of having something like that? The economic benefit hasn't been there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll tell you what it is, Larry. It's the concept that globalism. Look, I'm not anti-globalist. I believe in free trade with everyone.
Yeah.
I believe in free trade with everyone.
Has very good.
But here's the problem. Because I believe in global free trade, it doesn't mean that I believe in a one world order. It doesn't mean I believe that all of us are the same person, that we all need to be clones of each other, and that we all get equal results in life. No. That's the Borg collective, goddammit. That's like you will be assimilated and there's nothing you can do about it. Resistance is futile. You don't want that shit. I want to be able, look how wonderful technology and free trade is. I can get on eBay and all these lights around here that Phil has set up, Larry, all the lights, the reflectors, the cameras, I bought from some guy in China at half price on eBay. That is global free trade, yo.
Yeah, look at those chopsticks.
But, you know, where else or how else in the past would I, on a moment's notice, have traded with someone who had a service or a good to provide me
halfway around the world?
That is the beauty. That type of globalism, that type of global free trade is a good thing. That's why when an idiot like Trump talks about tariffs and restricted trade and deals and shit like that, he's an asshole.
Okay? Especially when you're doing it because you think you're punishing people.
Exactly.
Not even as part of like an economic policy.
Which would be wrong anyway.
Yeah, right. But when you think you're going to build a wall, well, here comes a fucking tariff.
Yeah.
it's childish and it's...
Right.
It's
but that's a long way from saying that...
Right.
The interests of someone in Sweden or Japan or Chile or China is identical to the interests of someone in the United States. Now, if they are, they are. But it doesn't mean they have to be.
Right.
Okay? That's where every fucking youngster, millennial, liberal, leftist, socialist douchebag in this country fails.
Yeah.
Okay? Just because you want to remain an individual, just because you want to be different, it doesn't make you a hater. Right. And I've noticed that this week, right? So you had the Brexit. If you were for the UK leaving, you're a hater.
You're a bigot.
Okay? Then we had the Supreme Court ruling, or I should say non-ruling, because it was, in essence, it was a 4-4 tie that kicked the decision back to the lower court, Larry,
right,
regarding Obama's immigration policies. Basically, they let the lower court ruling stand that Obama had no legal constitutional way of enforcing his immigration policy. Okay? As soon as that was issued, Obama, Clinton, Sanders, the typical parade of idiots on the left, started saying, see, this is a vote for hate.
Yeah.
This is the Supreme Court ruling for hate. Yeah. Babies torn away from their mamas.
And that's 4-4. Four against four. You realize if Scalia hadn't passed
It would have failed.
Would have lost outright. There would have been kicking it to a lower court.
No kicking it back to the lower court. But a 4-4 tie means it'll probably be revisited, right? If they wanted to.
At some point.
Like a 5-4 loss would have set precedent and then, you know, probably never challenged again. But the point being that, why is the fact that someone disagrees with you an automatic sign of hate? You don't see people on the right saying, they may call you an idiot, but they'll never say,
if they assume you're wrong.
You're a racist or a hater, right?
Yeah.
The left immediately falls, their default position, if you disagree with them or they disagree with you, is that you're a hater. Like Obama literally said, we're turning into the country we don't want to be. Clinton said, this is a vote for hate. This is a ruling for hate. And then she went on Twitter and started writing something in a language no one understands, like Spanish, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like the El Supremo said, fuck you, oh, you know, whatever the tweet said. You know, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But my point is, why is it hate automatically? Why can't you just disagree on the principle of the law?
Right.
Like the president can't make shit up on the fly.
Because you have to realize you're dealing with a mentality that when you're dealing with any legislation, anything that comes up, that deals with people.
Yeah.
Especially if those people are not white, which they're assuming that most of them are Hispanic.
Right, right.
Coming from south of the border. They're assuming that that's your motivation.
Right.
They're not assuming that it is based on the Constitution. It's not based on law. It's not based on intelligent policy for people coming and going from the country. Nothing. If you disagree with their position, they're assuming that you're looking at the people and you're going, oh, I don't want you in this country, and therefore you must be hateful.
Yeah.
And this is the stupidest thing in the world. I it's one of the reasons why I reference like my family.
Yeah.
Can't I just be in favor of like reasonable border security, and that doesn't mean that I hate everybody south of the border?
Yeah, it doesn't mean why is the default hate? That's my other question. Why is the default hate? So when Obama got spanked by, and you know who actually, Ben Shapiro, if you, is a conservative writer, not a libertarian, I don't think, but
no.
He had a great line. Someone tweeted him and said, like, oh, yeah, this is, thank God that Obama will now use, you know, he was forced into using executive action on immigration. And Ben Shapiro had the best quip. He goes, oh, yeah, I love it when he invokes the fuck you, I'm the president of Article 2 of the Constitution. You know, and that's really what it is. You know, and this is why, by the way, and again, ABD, Larry.
Yeah.
But this is why Gary Johnson, when he campaigns, when the people say, well, what if someone gets attacks us? You guys are isolationists, you know, and things like that. One of his responses is, when did it become the president's job constitutionally to declare war?
Right.
He's right about that. The Congress has abdicated its constitutional duty to declare war to the president.
Yeah.
Okay?
They don't even declare it anymore. They don't.
More and more.
Yeah.
The president, the executive office, is assuming the role of Congress.
Yeah.
All right? So whether you're pro or against Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Syria, whatever the fuck, when was the last time Congress held a vote and said, we vote to go in?
Yeah.
Like, once that vote is in, I agree. Commander-in-chief, the president gets to make some decisions there, right?
Right, but that's the process.
That's the process.
And we're not doing it. You know, it's weird. It kind of started, if you go back to the War Powers Act.
Sure.
That's really when this kind of, I think, got out of hand. Because what happened is they granted the president what it's supposed to be.
Limited.
It's like limited 30-day, whatever the language of it is, 60-day, like, just so he can do, like, little, like, here and there, like, surgical things or deal with things in an emergency so you don't have to sit there while they go through and they argue and everybody bloviates. But now it's just gotten to the point where the executive branch has just taken this over. And the Congress is just sitting around. I mean, they haven't even declared war on ISIS or any of them. But look at it this way. And even Obama, even he admits, look at all the bombings we've done. It's been like 18 months
now.
Of airstrikes. No, but just airstrikes. It's part of Obama's policy of containment, which in itself is stupid because you don't contain evil. You kill it. You destroy it. You don't peacefully coexist.
All the assassinations that he's ordered. See, whether you agree with them or not, and again, like Larry's okay with them. I'm kind of against them. But here's the
You're
thing.
Against the drone attacks?
Yeah, because they're unconstitutional.
That's why. All right.
I don't give a shit about the result. I just care that they're not being done right. But here's the thing. Whether you agree or disagree, here's the problem. You don't want the executive doing it unilaterally. So why not have... All Congress has to do is have a vote. We declare war on ISIS. Done. Boom. Now go back to bombing them.
You could call them ISIL. You could call them Daesh, whatever
the fuck
you want to call
them.
Douche, whatever you want to call
them. Exactly.
Just get it done and do things the right way. And instead, not only are they not doing things the right way, the Democrats... Now, remember, this is the party that hates government shutdowns. The Republicans are evil. They're irresponsible. Look how stupid. Look how mean. Shutting the government down, hurting the country. Meanwhile, this week, the Democrats have shut the government down by having a childish 1968 Columbia University sit-in against guns. How serious was their move to pass some new gun legislation? They actually turned it into a way to raise money and ask for $25 donations or more from people. Even Speaker Ryan held up one of them. He goes, this is clearly a fundraising event that they're not really upset about guns. And, you know, it's a separate issue.
That whole issue, again, ADD show. But that whole issue to me is hilarious, right? Because, first of all, they pretend like there was no bills brought up for a vote. In the Senate, they voted on 4 gun bills.
And they went,
they all failed. Yeah. 2 democratically sponsored, 2 sponsored by Republicans, okay? Do you know why they failed? Larry, was it because of the NRA?
Yes.
And all the money they spent?
Yes.
And all the babies they want to kill?
And some guy named Wayne LaPierre? Sounds like a hockey player.
You fucking morons. All right? You fucking morons. I don't even know how to begin to address your stupidity on this, okay? First of all, and by the way, Republicans and Democrats, I'm talking to both of you. We've gone over it. You can't get rid of the Second Amendment. It doesn't regulate hunting. It doesn't regulate whether you're safe in your house. It doesn't regulate whether you can have a clip with 5 bullets or 10 bullets. It doesn't even regulate whether one pull of the trigger fires one bullet or 10 bullets, okay? By the way, the AR-15, as I say again, is not an automatic weapon.
I don't think they care.
You dumb fucks, okay?
I don't think they care about auto or semi.
Right, whatever. They just hate guns, okay? But here's what does matter to you, okay? You can't use fucking the Fourth Amendment to regulate the Second Amendment out of existence, you cocksuckers, okay? The Fourth Amendment is the amendment, Larry, for due process, okay? Which means what? All those bills that say, if the government put you on a secret list, you can't own a gun. Yay! What's wrong with that, Larry? Because we all know the government would only put you on a list if it had good reason to.
I take the 5th. This is terrible.
You dumb fucks. And I can't be any clearer about this.
Can we put dumb fucks?
Yeah, please. Phil, put dumb fucks on every screen, Phil.
Or just put DF.
Yeah, thank you. Dumb fucks. Because you are saying you want the government to have a secret list to put... Have you been on a no-fly list? You ever try to find out why you're on a no-fly list? Have you ever tried to get yourself off a no-fly list? Nobody tells you why. You don't have a process you could go through. You're just on the fucking thing.
Right.
All right? They want to use no-fly list to deny your Second Amendment right to bear arms. Not automatic, not semi-automatic, not, you know, whatever. They want to just take you blanket. No appeal, no nothing. That is the definition of dictatorship.
Right.
That is the definition of tyranny. Hey, here's some news for you dumb fuck Democrats sitting on the floor of the House. That's the reason why we have a Second Amendment.
Right.
To prevent the fucking government from putting you on a list to deny your civil rights.
Look at outgoing Charlie Rangel here in New York.
Yeah.
What did he say this week? It makes perfect sense for politicians
to
be protected by guns. This is something that some people in Hollywood have said too. Well, we're rich and famous. You know, it's okay for us. But Charlie Rangel said it's okay for us politicians to be protected by guns, but civilians, you don't need any.
Yeah.
Thank you, North Korea. I mean, that's the same mentality of
absolutely.
The government and you don't have them.
Yeah.
That's the first step to collecting them all and keeping you away from them. This is ridiculous. Plus, I understand what John's point, but I got to tell you, if you're out there and you really think we're wrong about this, you have to go to Twitter, go to Facebook. John's always encouraging. Please explain how any amount of gun legislation is going to keep terrorists from getting guns, drug cartels from getting guns, even
just criminals
from getting guns.
Crazy people.
Don't you realize that they're going to be able to get their hands on these things anyway? Passing a ban on something does nothing. It affects people like me, who might just be a
law-abiding,
and if you tell me, well, you can't have that gun anymore, fine, I'm going to wind up turning it in, or something like that. People who are really dangerous, you don't think they're not going to get their hands on what they want anyway?
Oh, but then, Larry, we can make guns magically disappear. There's 300 million weapons in this country. We can make them magically disappear. Listen.
It's got about the same chance of success as prohibition.
Yeah.
It's the same logic. We'll just ban it and you can't have a drink anymore. And what did everybody do? They went to a speakeasy. It just drove it underground.
Bathtub gin.
And it wound up being the seed money for the mafia.
You can't.
That's how they made their empire, completely on prohibition. You cannot, it's actually part of the price you pay for living in an open society. It's the same thing with drugs or anything else. You can't successfully ban something. You can ban every water pistol in the country tomorrow. Trust me, dangerous people are still going to be able to get their hands on guns. There are still going to be assholes driving around in a van, and they open up the back and they go, this is 350, this is 200, this is 100. You can get this as auto, semi-auto. You're only going to be taking it away from people like me. That's it. Your bans mean nothing. And the people who think that Bill Clinton's ban in the 90s was successful, wrong. Go look it up.
Plus, the other thing to keep in mind is, I'm sorry, Lex. The other thing to keep in mind is, do you think we live in some Wild West society? Do these liberals really think there are no gun laws? It's already next to impossible to get a legal gun. I keep hearing about these alleged loopholes. There was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune or Times, I forget which one, where he went and he said, I will show you how easy it is to get a gun. Yeah. So he went to buy a gun. Guess what happened? The gun shop owner did a background check and found out that he had a history of domestic violence and abuse that apparently nobody at the newspaper knew about.
Right.
And they denied him the gun because of that.
Right.
And guess what? He now is sitting there going, why the fuck did they expose my private life? Why? That's what you want to do to everybody else.
Yeah.
Why? You mean because somebody found out you're a wife beater? Allegedly.
Allegedly. You know why he's stupid? Because what he should have done, and which to your point, what you're saying is true, but it's mostly true in large urban areas.
Yeah.
There are plenty of places like in the South and in the country. You can just walk and buy it and buy like a stick of gum and walk right
out. Walmart sells guns and
possibly. No, but I mean it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but my point is to legally get a gun.
Yeah.
It's not, you do have to jump through hoops. Especially if you want concealed carry, like a handgun, like a rifle, I agree, might be easier, like a shotgun or something like that.
It took me a year in New York City.
Yeah,
when I got mine.
We don't want to tell people what you're packing at any given point, though.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, other than 7 inches.
Plus two.
But yeah, so look, the point is that, liberals seem to think like, oh my God, there's this law that says you can buy a Uzi and keep it in your basement.
Yeah,
they don't
think everybody can get a bazooka.
There's already regulations out the ass. So my question to you is, and it's hack on our part, but Chicago, one of the most heavily gun-regulated areas in the country, Washington, D.C., Detroit, okay, parts of California, East L.A., in New York to some extent.
New York.
Why all the gun deaths? I thought you banned everything. You have all this legislation. The truth of the matter is exactly what Larry and everybody else says. People who want to do harm will do harm.
Yeah.
Like, talk about Orlando. What if the bartender had a gun on him?
Yeah, maybe he stops this horrible shooting.
We said it last week. Maybe, maybe he wouldn't have saved everybody, but guess what? He would have saved a lot of people if someone had a gun at that point to defend themselves. The average response time for cops in urban areas is 6 minutes. You want to take your chances? And listen, again, we'll say it again. If you're afraid of guns, liberals, if you're scared of guns, if you don't want your kids around guns, here's a great idea. Don't buy any. Same thing as people who are against gay marriage. I am constantly amazed at the cherry picking on both sides. So the guys who are pro-gun on the right are anti-gay. Then the liberals who are like pro-fucking a sheep if you wanted to are anti-gun. Why? They're both matters of choice, okay?
Yeah, they're both matters of your individual rights as an American citizen. Let people decide these things for themselves. That's what I always tell people. You want to have an abortion? Have an abortion. You want to own a gun? Own a gun. You want to sleep with another guy? Sleep with another guy. What the hell do I care what you're doing? You want to dye your hair green?
Just don't bother anybody else. And that's why...
Don't impose your way on other people.
And yet another plug, that's why libertarian messaging is resonating with a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a libertarianism, we said, is an intellectual man's party, but it's also like a smorgasbord. Literally, you take from it what you like, because for the most part, and this is, again, part of, again, ADD, this is what keeps libertarians fresh, man, because, but it's also why we have a problem putting across politically our message. Libertarianism, in a lot of ways, is the policy of inaction. You know what I mean? Instead of action. Because what's the first thing Gary Johnson will do as governor? He's going to cut the budget.
As president.
He did it as governor already, right? He doesn't want to regulate. So it doesn't mean that he's saying, well, I'm going to go out there and regulate the banks. I'm going to regulate how much sugar you could put in a soda. I'm going to regulate the size of your fucking donuts so you don't get fat. These are proactive, statist types of positions. The libertarian position is you want a donut, fucking eat a donut.
Yeah.
You want to drink 5 gallons of Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. We're not gonna ban you from having a sugary drink.
Yeah, go fuck yourself for all we care. Yeah.
Asshole.
Okay? So part of the problem with the libertarian message is that people have been so raised as veal that they're afraid to live on their own. Really, there's a lot of people who think that without government they can't live their day-to-day lives.
Well, that is the heart of it.
Yeah.
There are people who think that any...
But, Larry, see how smart we are? Comes back to the original point of the Brexit.
That's right. This
see?
Is not the just mindless tangents.
See?
This has been the whole thing. The problem is, you don't need government.
No.
And if you ask me, you don't need religion. But if you don't need government, and you don't need it as much as you think. You need a small amount of supervisory government, as I like to call it, that's just limited and, you know, and respects your rights as an individual. You know, I mean, like, I gotta tell you, like, if I was the governor of the state, I'm not kidding, the first thing I'd do is I get rid of the speed limit.
Yeah, I would.
Why do you need to be told 55 miles, 25 miles? All it is a way to give you a ticket. Get rid of it. Everybody knows, at this point, you drive in the left lane, it's NASCAR. You're in the middle, you're kind of a milk to your middle. If you're in the right lane, you drive slower than my grandmother. Everybody knows this at this point. Why do you need...
And you know what causes accidents?
And not
speed.
Should
do?
Not they should have better signs to tell you where you are.
Yeah.
You know how many people tell me, like in New Jersey, like, I don't know if it's this exit, that exit, and they don't tell you...
Well, that's Jersey. Jersey.
Okay.
Jersey in particular.
But the point is,
if
they're going to do things like signs and things like that, at least make them useful. I mean, you know, but telling you, like, for instance, seatbelt laws, forget it.
Out.
You want to wear a seatbelt? Wear a seatbelt. Okay, I mean, they've got cars that do it for you now. Talk about imposing their way on you. Speed limits, get away from it. Okay, you know, the other things are like, if you want to smoke pot, I'm okay with that. I go smoke pot, you know.
Actually, that was one of the questions that Gary Johnson had from some conservative woman at the town hall on
CNN, he's a pothead.
Which I hope all of you watched. She said, well, I understand you being pro-marijuana legalization. She goes, but really? Even heroin? Gary Johnson was, yeah, even heroin, because you know why? It's what you deny that becomes valuable. Right, you create a market for you.
It's the forbidden fruit thing. Yeah.
So he goes, yeah, make heroin legal. And you know what? I used to be anti that, but now I've come around to that way of thinking. I'll be honest with you. It's just like, do whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, there's no serious
for people who say, well, you know, heroin addicts are going to rob and steal. Okay, how does heroin being illegal stop that? See, I'll defer to you and say, it's the same thing with guns.
If they're doing that already to support their habit, they're doing it already. Right. At least if you make it legal, you put the drug dealers, hopefully, then the drug cartels out of business, or to some extent, because you're taking away their biggest problem, meth and all these crazy things. But, you know, I want to tell you, though, on a related tangent.
ADD.
Yeah. was running for the Libertarian, but was McAfee at one point.
Yeah, John McAfee. Okay, the internet guy.
Now, here's the thing. John knows that I'm a big fan of, like, the ID channel that shows all those crimes and how the police solved them, how the FBI. I actually saw one over the weekend. It was the one about George McAfee.
John McAfee.
John McAfee, excuse me. And he was living in Belize, and some other American expat who lived next door to him, this white guy who was a former military guy, got killed, and they thought he might have something to do with it, and they wanted to speak to him, and he ended up, like, absconded with some young girl to Mexico or Guatemala. And
he's a
wacky dude, and his dogs down there used to bite tourists and all these stupid things.
He married a prostitute.
Yeah. He's had a wild life, but I just wanted to throw that out there because I saw the first debate on Fox with Stossel, and I remember thinking to myself, this guy's like a little edgy, and like, thank God it was Gary Johnson who got the nomination, because I think McAfee would have seriously hurt the image.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Of libertarians.
Libertarians still have the association with the wacky, you know, like the guy who stripped naked.
The guy who stripped naked,
you know,
right,
like stuff like that. But that's growing pains of a party, you know? Like, yeah. I mean, when the Republican Party formed around the time of Lincoln, you had crazies in the Republic. That's why they were called radicals. People forget the Republicans were the radical party when it formed.
That's right. We're the radicals for capitalism. Right here.
But, yeah, so anyway, so good stuff on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a whole bunch of things. And, again, I just want to emphasize, just because we disagree with you doesn't mean we hate.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we hate. We just disagree with you. What happened to the ability to disagree without it being personal?
Yeah, look, I have friends in this city that I love, and they're all pretty liberal. And look, I'm very serious about it. I tell people all the time, I say, we disagree agreeably. There's no need for all this acrimony and nastiness. That's why I hate guys like Harry Reid, because they're so miserable and lying about people, and he's always got to get his way, and it's nasty. What's the benefit of it? But since we are talking about government and government intervention, let's very quickly, I want to touch on, get your feelings, excuse me, on Colorado is thinking of instituting a universal health care.
Yeah, it's like more of the same.
But they're trying to get rid of Obamacare and just replace it with simple universal health care.
Yeah.
And, you know, the detractors of it, mostly Republicans, have been saying, if you do it, there's going to be a lot of people from all over the country coming into Colorado to get free health care. We can't afford it.
It's a horrible idea, no matter how you slice it, whether you call it Obamacare, Romney Care, universal health care. I mean, I know Bernie Sanders is probably jerking off over it somewhere, but the truth of the matter is universal health care everywhere is a failure. Everywhere.
Yeah.
You know who thinks it's okay? It's somebody who's never gotten sick enough to be taken care of under a fucking universal health care system.
Right.
Like, universal health care is great if you're going for a checkup. It's great if you just want a doctor to root a finger up your ass and check your prostate, or to feel up your titties for lumps or something. But what people don't tell you is, oh, wow, you need open heart surgery? Here's the waiting list. It's like 5 years long.
Right.
Oh, you've got a certain type of cancer that needs this special type of treatment? Yeah, we don't even offer it. Okay?
Yeah.
And people seem to forget that part of universal health care. You know, everything is free checkups and shit. Like, really, is that what's holding you up? You know, in this country, the $25 copay for a checkup, is that what's holding you up?
Right.
No, it's not, okay? The truth of the matter is we could probably fix health care in this country with a couple of things. The first is complete and open free market.
Right.
Complete and open for
the
pharmacy.
There are too many states where you only have one choice.
Exactly. Free competition. Free competition. Have every insurance company compete for your business. And that business is your health care premiums.
Put together better packages than the other guy, and people will buy your product.
Just like any other product.
Right.
Like, can anyone tell me, honestly, from an economic point of view, when having more of a product led to lower quality and higher prices? Can anyone show me a historical example of that? Because you know what? It doesn't exist anywhere. It doesn't exist. In your neighborhood, if you only have one store within 20 miles, they can make it whatever price they want, and God bless them. A second store comes in the neighborhood, and what happens, Larry?
There's competition.
Competition. Prices start to come down.
Which is good for you.
Yeah. Either they lower their prices or they increase their quality of service and quality of product. It's the law of the free market. That's what happens.
I know you're at home thinking about Sweden. Don't.
Yeah, they already failed. I hate. Yeah, and for my friend Tom Lahn out there, who's Swedish, grew up here and always loved. It's still a beautiful country. Yes, they've got the sexiest broads on the planet.
Yes, I've been there.
Yes,
I've been there twice.
All yes to that, and you're all nice people. But guess what? Your system of socialism failed, democratic or otherwise.
Yeah.
They've already shut their borders. They've already started denying basic what they thought were basic human rights to everyone.
They're deporting 80,000.
They're
savages
deporting savages by the truckload because they all flooded in for free government service. And businesses are starting to renege on some of their socialist promises. Why?
Right.
Because in Sweden, for example, one of the socialist implementations was you get as many sick days as you want. So guess what? What happened within 2 years was Sweden leads the world in number of sick days taken, despite being one of the top five healthiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
The reason is that people said, I don't have to go to work and I'll get paid. Why would anyone go to work, especially if you had a shitty job, which most socialist jobs are? Why would you go to work if you didn't have to and still get the same money?
You could goof off and get paid for it.
Right. So Sweden right now has used up all their capitalistic reserve, all their free enterprise reserve, and they were very well off as a country, thanks to their like almost Protestant work ethic.
Yeah.
Now it's all gone. And you have an older generation of Swedes saying, well, the stuff we worked for to pass down has all been shot to hell and wasted by the younger generation. Younger generation sitting there going, our standard of living is going down. Why? We believed in this government shit. Why is it going down?
Right.
So Sweden, by and large, they're starting to reverse a lot of their socialism. So where they're going to end up is probably where the U.S. is now, with this weird socialist free market mix, you know,
yeah,
where the free market is being restrained and the productivity of the U.S. is being restrained by socialist principles.
They're probably going to try desperately to cling on to the free education thing.
Yeah.
Because they're big believers in that.
Yeah.
But that's okay for 9 million hot blonde people.
Yeah. 9 million people.
That's very nice. I'm not kidding.
9 million people in a country, and that's where you get fooled. You, like, proponents of socialism forget. It's easy to implement when everybody's the same race, the same religion, and can be controlled easily, meaning there's not a lot of them.
Yeah, they're monolithic in their thinking, and it's...
Yeah, like, in Sweden, for the... Like, look what a small injection, like 80,000 immigrants who are not Swedes. If you've ever seen any of these Muslims from the Middle East, they don't look anything like Swedes, obviously.
No, not
they don't mix in. You know, they're not like you could get fooled or something. Like if you flooded Sweden with Germans, they might mix in, you know.
They'd blend in.
If they learn to speak the language. You can't mix a guy who looks darker than me in a population of 6-foot-tall, blonde, blue-eyed people.
Looks like Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay. So... That's where they got 80,000 people into 9 million fucking threw their economy into disarray. Can you imagine a country like the U.S., 330 million people, more diverse than you could shake a stick at? Okay? Any religion you want is allowable.
No.
Any political party is allowable, unlike Sweden where everything's controlled, right?
This is not a country where one size fits all.
Socialism is not for people who are free thinkers. Socialism is not for individualists. Socialism is not for I wake up and do whatever the fuck I want.
It's for people who want to be taken care of.
It's for people who are pussies that want to be taken care of.
They're soft. They don't want to struggle. That's the big thing I'm noticing with millennials. They don't want to struggle. They
suffering is out.
They want a nice, happy life from the get-go.
That's it.
And they want to live that life. They don't want to hear about struggling. They don't want to hear about paying for this or that, education, healthcare kind of thing. I told you the one show I was watching, the guy interview goes, yeah, free healthcare, free school. He goes, free house.
Yeah.
He wants the government to provide a house, and then he wants $100,000 a year walking around money. And this is for everybody. Now, somebody needs to explain economics.
No, they don't,
sack.
Because it doesn't
but
matter.
If you think about it, now Colorado is trying to, you know, first they did the legalized pot thing. Now, I didn't really mind that so much. But now they're going to be trying to push through the universal health care, and I think it's going to pass because the Republicans are a minority out there, their point of view. And I think it's going to be a disaster.
It will be a disaster. Because like Larry said, you're going to have people moving in to get residency.
Yeah.
Then you're going to run out of things to do. Now, unless they think that they're going to have enough in pot sales to cover their health care, which once you raise enough money through pot sale taxation, pot tax, it's going to get appropriated for everything. Schools, health care, infrastructure. Because that's what politicians do. There's no such thing as putting money aside for any politician.
No.
There's no such thing as putting money aside.
They get a penny, they spend it.
Yeah.
They get
a penny, they spend five.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
There's no, like, money for a rainy day. Like, yeah. There's none. That concept is gone. It's all about trying to buy stuff up so you can go back to your constituents and go, look, I got you this, blah, blah, blah. And that's how you get reelected. And unfortunately, that plays to the strength of Democrats because they love just... shit. And
they love giving away shit.
They love buying shit and spending money.
And then you have Republicans who try to get elected by keeping up with the Democrats. And that's how we're in the shape we're in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why, again, vote Gary Johnson, who promised a 20% across the board cut, including the military.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. And before all of you start gasping, believe me, you could trim 20% like that off the federal budget and barely feel it.
Yeah.
Barely fucking feel it, okay?
I mean, it's like the last time they had the government shut down.
Yeah.
And they
nobody cared.
And when they refused to raise, like, the debt ceiling and things like that, and Obama and Harry Reid went out and said, this is going to be terrible. People are going to have to let people out of jail. Like, all these stupid things.
You know what the worst part was?
None of those things happened. Dude.
Yeah, the worst part, the worst thing that happened was all the shit the Democrats did in retribution. Closing national parks. Letting criminals out of immigration jails. In other words, all that shit was done specifically by Democrats to prove a point. It wasn't the natural outcome of shutting down the government. So, yeah, let's stick with some economic balance. Let's worry about stuff like that.
And speaking of trim, you said trim the government.
Yes.
Let's talk about Stonewall for a minute.
Yes. And listen, Phil, please, some appropriate ambient music. Yeah, that's it. Woo, 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 woo. Go ahead, Larry. It's Stonewall. Do it. Keep going. Well,
yeah,
dance
yeah.
while I talk. There we go.
I'm disgusting.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, so I wish I had one of those whistles that those guys always in the EM play. Like, you know, gay guys love to dance. I've noticed that.
Oh,
they're constantly dancing, Larry.
They're like teenage girls.
I mean, they're in great shape. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, I'm not. I was not happy about lifting up my shirt. No, they're in great shape. I see them.
Yes, papi.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, baby. Yeah. You're so juvenile. But anyway, yeah, so President Obama has declared the Stonewall Inn in New York. National monument, right?
National monument, yep.
In recognition of LGBTQA, I believe, is the whole alphabet soup. Basically, for all you queers out there. The Stonewall, for those of you that may not be familiar, was a bar in New York.
And
I think, what was it, 68?
Yeah.
In 1968... look, in 68, you still had anti-sodomy laws on the books. You still had anti-homosexuality laws on the books. So basically, gay bars were raided on the regular by the police. Usually to break it up, shut them down, you know, maybe get a payoff or two, probably. I don't know.
Quick Homer.
But a quick Homer, you know, in the glory hole or whatever. But yeah, so they used to put up with a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And I guess one night they just, you know, said no. You know, we're not. And they basically had a riot at the Stonewall.
Yeah.
And most people in New York, if you're either were alive at that point or followed the history of New York City, that was really considered like the first real sort of organized
uprising
for the gay community in New York. And that's really where gay rights in New York really started, I would say. I mean, you might find some other instances here and there, but that was the first one that caught the public's attention and said, you know, whatever. And the Stonewall is there to this day. There's still wonderful parties going on there.
Yes.
All delicious and stuff, Larry.
Yeah, done in a very manly way. The way a man does about it.
Yeah, like, I don't see too many lesbians at the Stonewall. It seems to be gay guys mostly, right?
No, they go a lot to Julius.
And before you start asking, how do I know what's in the Stonewall? None of your business, Poppy.
None of your business, baby. This is gay as man.
I got my hand in his pocket. I claim him.
See
I
that?
Claim him.
See that? I'm so comfortable with my sexuality. I don't mind if he rubs my cock on the head. Good for you, John. A married man.
Oh, yeah. On the down low.
On the low low.
Anyway.
See, we're very libertarian. Really.
Yeah, we don't give a shit. But anyway, look, congratulations to the Stonewall. And I guess... I mean, honestly, for all the shit that we give Obama, this is something I really don't give two fucks about one way or another.
No, no, it's, I'm sure it'll go over very well in Mississippi. I grew up not too far from there, and I must tell you, you used to hear a lot of stories about them getting, like, beat up. Like, kids, like, idiot kids would come from,
fag bashing.
From, like, Long Island and, like, beat them up and, like, drive away and get away with it, and the cops didn't care. So, I mean, you know, like, and as far as I'm concerned, like, my view of that, you know, look, they're American citizens. This is ridiculous. You don't get to just beat them up because you don't like the way they're living. Okay? I mean, I honestly, look, John and I are kidding, but I have, like, no interest in men whatsoever. But if you do, that's your business. As long as you're not trying to poke me in the ass, what do I care what you do? And as far as lesbianism goes, there's clearly nothing wrong with that.
That's delicious.
That is the best thing ever. We've had it on the show. It will continue to stay here.
Yes, we love it. But yeah, so like, and again, I can't emphasize this enough. Like, if it wasn't for our new show direction, there would be cocks everywhere on every screen. But Phil is so homophobic, he won't put any cocks up on the screen. Right, Phil?
And you're from the country that invented the cock ring, are you not?
But anyway, so yeah. So, and all I can tell all you rednecks out there that might be watching is, like, lighten up, right? Like, nobody's trying to make you gay. Nobody's trying to make your kids gay. No one's trying to get your wife to convert to a rug muncher. Forget about it. It's all, like, just let them live and let live.
And stop saying that Jesus hates them.
You don't know what Jesus wants, so just leave it at that.
You sound like the Taliban.
Yeah, and the last thing I will say, though, is on top of that, is just if you're gay, can you please stop the dancing in short shorts? Like, if you're a guy with the mesh tank tops, like, I was downtown the other day, Larry. I had some business downtown, and I walked by, there's a part of Manhattan, I walked by the Gay Men's Health Center. Right. Is that how, or is it the Health Crisis, officially? Yeah. GMHC. I think it stands for Gay Men's Health Crisis.
I think it's crisis, yeah.
But anyway, so basically that's an organization that started for gays in New York, where they could go get counseling, get treated. During the AIDS epidemic, they helped a lot of people out and everything. But basically now it's an administrative building now. So I was on some business and I walked by there. I am telling you, what was it, Larry, like 90 degrees in Manhattan the other day? Yes. 85, 90, hot sun. I'm sweating like a motherfucker. And I walk by that building and I'm not, you would think I'm making this up. Maybe like 10, 12 gay guys, all wearing like earbuds with iPods and iPhones. Just fucking dancing in short shorts and mesh tops. Not like as a protest or anything.
No.
Just because that's what they do.
They just love it. And like, rednecks like to shoot guns, and gay guys like to dance.
Blowing their whistles and just big smiles on their faces. Like.
That's always the interesting break between gay men and gay women.
Yeah.
Like, gay women tend to be, unfortunately, but they tend to be angry. There's a lot of dirty looks. There's a lot of, like, right on the surface, like, you say something they don't like, they snap at you. Gay guys, like, are you gay? Guilty! Like, they love it. They're here, they're dancing, they're flamboyant. They're out there. They want you to know that there's cock in here. They want you to know that there's no, like, lesbians hate it. Like, they feel like they're almost like they're being profiled. And you point out, like, they're lesbians. They go, like, why, you know? How do you know that? Like,
yeah, those gay guys. Like, I was just hot from walking in the sun, and these guys are out there, like, no wonder they're in such great shape. They were just like...
And in a good mood. In a good mood.
Oh, and happy as fuck. I'm constantly miserable when I'm walking around Manhattan. Like, these fuckers were happy as shit. But here's the
sad
state.
You don't dance enough, John.
I don't dance at all. But here's the sad state of affairs. As I was walking by that place and all these gay guys were just grooving to themselves. Really, four cops with automatic rifles.
Oh, yeah.
Set up there for protection in the wake of Orlando.
Yeah.
So you did have this juxtaposition and this right. dichotomy there as you're walking by. On the one hand, these out and proud and super gay guys, gay, and they didn't care who knew it. You know, it was like, on the one hand, you had that, and literally, like, as far as Larry is from me, a New York City cop in riot gear,
yeah.
holding an automatic weapon, just ready for anything.
And think of how far we've come.
Come on, really?
When this stuff started in the 70s, like, remember...
Speaking of the Stonewall,
like,
yeah.
The beating them up and the violence against them, and, like, the police, like, either not caring or not really following up. There was no serious punishment for it. Now society has changed to the point where they can get married, and you've actually got, like, armed, probably straight guys standing there protecting them and defending them against, like, ISIS assholes and other... rapidly
good.
Inspired assholes. Yeah, no, that's a good thing. It's
good.
A wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nice to say, because you should care.
See, and
even
liberals,
if you don't approve of what they're doing in their yeah. life, you have to care. They're American citizens. We can't have
absolutely.
People killing them off. And I just wish that liberals would realize that gun-free zones are not the solution. It would have been better if somebody in that place,
bar.
That bar in Orlando, had a weapon or some way to take down or even just incapacitate this Omar Mateen, whatever his fucking name was. Remember the example I always like to give people. A couple of years back, the radical guy up in Canada, he killed the guy out front who had a gun, but his gun was empty. It's a largely ceremonial possession. The guy, this is in Ottawa, in their capital, right? He runs inside. He's about to start killing everybody. All their politicians, called MPs, the sergeant of arms, boom, puts him down, saves everybody's life. Take my word for it. You're better always having somebody who can fight back and do something.
Something
in
also
a situation
yeah.
like that, then everybody's with nothing except the lunatic.
Same thing in Texas with the Pamela Geller Muslim
yeah.
cartoon contest.
Right.
Two savages try to kill everybody in the place.
Yeah.
Off-duty cop with a weapon took out both of them. So, yeah, for all you liberals that say having a gun... the victims having a gun just makes things worse.
Wrong.
Stop and think about it. How does it make it worse? You're all dead without it anyway. So how does it make it worse?
Right.
Anyway, on that note.
No. Sorry,
what's
one
that?
More thing.
What's that?
Very quickly. And congratulations to Led Zeppelin for beating the suit against him in
Talk
California.
About a miscarriage of justice.
Oh, my God. John doesn't listen to classic rock anymore, so he's lost his marbles. He's listening to punk rock, for God's sakes. Let me tell you something. I'm so happy. Spirit. You're losers. That song, Taurus, didn't sound like Stairway.
Holy shit.
It does,
like,
but I'm glad they won. It's one of my favorite bands.
Literally, if you took like a recording of that Taurus song,
yeah.
the opening, and cut out Stairway to Heaven's intro and put in the Taurus thing, you wouldn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
It was...
And I would like to say I saw Zeppelin three times at the Garden in 1977. It's their song.
Talk about a jury being deaf, dumb, and blind. That was literally...
No, they never heard it.
Oh, really?
No, because of copyright laws, they only were allowed to get the sheet music or something like that.
Oh, because nobody could read music. Whatever it was a miscarriage of justice. Like, unless you had 12 of him sitting on the jury.
I hope so.
Like, it would... anyway, you beat the rap, Led Zepp. Okay, whatever. Some poor bastard is, like, living in a trailer, probably.
Well, I wanted them to sound happy, note, not about flamboyant gay guys that you hang out with in this.
Woo! Woo! All right. And on that note, grooving to the EM right now, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
Peace, America.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.